to give Dawsey a piece of her mind for shirking his feelings for Remy. Miss Marple never runs anywhere. She follows after slowly, like the old lady she is. So I did, too. Juliet was inside the house by the time I got there. I went on tippy-toes to the terrace and pressed myself into the wall by the library. The French windows were open. I heard Juliet open the door to the library. "Good morning, gentlemen," she said. I could hear Teddy Heckwith, he's a plasterer, and Chester, he's a joiner, say, "Good morning, Miss Ashton." Dawsey said, "Hello, Juliet." He was on top of the big stepladder. I found that out later when he made so much noise coming down it. Juliet said she would like a word with Dawsey, if the gentleman could give her a minute. They said certainly and left the room. Dawsey said, "Is something wrong, Juliet? Is Kit all right?" "Kit's fine. It's me. I want to ask you something." "Oh," I thought, "she's going to tell him not to be a sissy. Tell him he must stir himself up and go propose to Remy at once." But she didn't. What she said was, "Would you like to marry me?" I liked to die where I stood. There was quiet, complete quiet. Nothing. And on it went. Not a word, not a sound. But Juliet went on undisturbed. Her voice steady, and me, I could not get so much as a breath of air into my chest. "I'm in love with you, so I thought I'd ask." And then Dawsey, dear Dawsey, swore. He took the Lord's name in vain. "My God, yes," he cried, and clattered down that stepladder. Only his heels hit the rungs, which is how he sprained his ankle. I kept to my scruples and did not look inside the room, tempted though I was. I waited. It was quiet in there. So I came on home to think. What good was training my eyes if I could not see things rightly? I had got everything wrong. Everything. It came out happy. So happy in the end. But no thanks to me. I don't have Miss Marple's insight into the cavities of the human mind. That is sad, but best to admit it now. Sir William told me there were motorcycle races in England. Silver cups given for speed, rough riding and not falling off. Perhaps I should train for that. I already have my bike. All I'd need would be a helmet. Maybe goggles. For now, I will ask Kit over for supper and to spend the night with me, so that Juliet and Dawsey can have the freedom of the shrubbery, just like Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet.
From Juliet to Sydney, 17th of September, 1946. Dear Sydney, terribly sorry to make you turn around and come right back across the channel, but I require your presence. At my wedding. I have seized the day and the night too. Can you come and give me away in Amelia's back garden on Saturday? Eben to be best man, Isola to be maid of honour. She is manufacturing a gown for the occasion. Kit to throw rose petals. Dawsey to be groom. Are you surprised? Probably not, but I am. I am in a constant state of surprise these days. Actually, now that I calculate, I've been betrothed only one full day, but it seems like my whole life has come into being in the last 24 hours. Think of it. We could have gone on longing for one another and pretending not to notice forever. This obsession with dignity can ruin your life if you let it. Is it unseemly to get married so quickly? I don't want to wait. I want to begin at once. All my life I thought that the story was over when the hero and heroine were safely engaged. After all, what's good enough for Jane Austen ought to be good enough for anyone. But it's a lie. The story is about to begin, and every day will be a new piece of the plot. Perhaps my next book will be about a fascinating married couple and all the things they learn about one another over time. Are you impressed by the beneficial effect of engagement on my writing? Dawsey has just come down from the big house and is demanding my immediate attention. His much-vaunted shyness has evaporated completely. I think it was a ploy to arouse my sympathies. Love, Juliet. P.S. I ran into Adelaide Addison in St. Peter Port today. By way of congratulation, she said, I hear you and that pig farmer are going to regularize your connection. Praise the Lord! We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary Ann Schaefer and Annie Barrows. Read by Paul Bamer, Susan Duerden, Rosalind Landor, John Lee, and Juliet Mills. This programme was produced and directed by Kelly Gilday. Executive producers Kelly Gilday and Dan Musselman. Text copyright 2008 by Mary Ann Schaefer and Annie Barrows. Production copyright 2008, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.